CBS Sports Radio.
Must be football season because those first 2 hours went nice and easy, really well. Except for that part when I rolled in right before the start of the program and I looked through the glass and I saw the old man, Ritt, rocking his Panthers jersey.
It's lit.
Luckily, I got so locked into the program that I forgot, because I never actually look at the old man during the show except when he stands up and preens for the camera with his Carolina Panther gear on. I am Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, coming into the start of hour number three, I got to ask the question, how can you not love Sam Pittman? Man, such a great dude. What a great coach. What a great win over Texas. Arkansas, huge win. And they are top 20. We had Aqib Talib, who also I thought was excellent. Back in hour number two, I am efforting Steelers cornerback Cam Sutton, who, by the way, is a really nice player. Really nice player and making his jungle debut. And that's coming up momentarily. So let me start off the third hour. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. At Original TBBB tweets, so glad to hear Coach Pittman on your show. I've been a fan of the Hogs since I was 6 years old. We have had so much heartache over our program the past decade. It feels so good to have coaches make us feel pride in the program like Musselman and Pittman. Let me tell you about both those guys. And I know I can speak for E. Muss because, as I mentioned before, I look at my career. I literally go back further with Eric Musselman than anybody that appears on this program. E. Muss and I literally came in together. We're the same age, and I started interviewing him when we were both 23. I know I can speak for Muss. Muss loves it there. Muss has immense pride. He always does wherever he is because he's just the ultimate pro. But I know he loves being there. You're lucky to have him. He's lucky to have you. And I think you just heard it from your football coach. Sam Pittman said it, man. This is where I want to be. I literally loved what he said. That he went to his players and said, you sure as hell didn't choose me, but I chose you. And we didn't run anybody off. Nor did we make anybody stay. And we knew that if we all pulled together for the same thing, we could win with who we had. Maybe not win a national championship, but I love that. Normally, you get to a situation that's jacked up. Yeah, the first thing you think of is, I got to get new players. That's not what he did. Great interview. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had a big game. In yesterday's win over Buffalo, 5 tackles, a couple of passes defensed. 30 tackles, 8 passes defensed, 3 forced fumbles, an INT, a sack, and a fumble recovery last season. He was the 94th pick overall back in 2017. Pittsburgh is 1-0 on the year, and they are hosting Las Vegas on Sunday. That's a CBS game. Cam Sutton is my guest. Cam, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, dude. Great to have you. So let me ask you first. I know you're coming off a huge win, but can you take me back to before that game? Every game in the NFL is big, but when you're on the road against a team that went to the conference championship game, how fired up were you going into week one?
Yeah, definitely energized. Everybody was ready to go. You know what I mean? We knew we were heading into obviously a hostile environment, going into a year, going into week one, especially with, you know, having fans and everyone back into the stadium. You know, that was a great atmosphere to see, just kind of having that play, almost that playoff kind of feel, with having fans, with Buffalo having fans back again. So it was a great sight to see. And, you know, we knew we had to come out here and match that same energy. You know, we knew we couldn't come out here and not come out here and compete and not get after those guys and, you know, just play for each other. You know, we enjoyed that. And we're able to come out with a win.
Cam Sutton, my guest. Cam, you made your presence felt early on. In the first quarter, you had that huge pass breakup on the flea flicker on 3rd and 1. Can you take me through the play? What did you see? How did you sniff out that play? And then how happy were you with the way that turned out?
Yeah, kind of just they got a tempo and kind of tried to jump to the ball and push forward to get a first down. You know, initially thinking, you know, that's something that they're kind of not necessarily stapled in their offense, but something that they do from time to time. And you know, we were ready more than ready for the down and distance scenario. Kind of, you know, like I said, jumped up in our personnel as well, and we're ready on the ball as well. And Diggs kind of came off the ball kind of slow, you know, slow playing a play, and then he burst out of there, you know, coming out of there. he came bursting out of there, and you know, just keep my eyes on, you know, just doing a great job of having my eyes on my key. And everyone just doing their job. You know, Minka was kind of on the inside of me, you know, holding that leverage in that space, you know, reading, reacting off of the run or the play pass. And then, you know, just did a great job with just finding the ball and just making it down the ball.
I got to tell you, Cam, I'm not at all surprised by that response, because Mike Tomlin has made the point that there are very few guys who can play outside corner and then play in the slot, but you do it easily because of what I'm hearing right now, a football intellect. He said that you blew everybody away in Knoxville at your pro day because of your understanding of the game. What do you remember about that day, and did you know how much you would impress them at that time?
Yeah, at that time, that was coming after the combine. You know, we were kind of at our pro day time. So, I obviously, going into the pro day, I didn't really have much to do for that time, obviously outside of the field work portion. So, you know, just wanted to be smooth, and even then, you know, coming off an injury too, so in my senior year, you know, so really just obviously getting back healthy, being smooth, and being crisp coming out of my break, and transitioning on the field, as well as obviously being sharper in the classroom. And, you know, obviously I had an opportunity to sit down with Mike T and Colbert and those guys at my pro day, and we just talked ball, man. We talked ball, we talked life, you know. It was an amazing experience. It was amazing. It was a blessing. You know, and we kind of, obviously, this week, you know, five years later, you know, we're still going strong. And that's just the telltale of, you know, our relationship and just the bond that we've been able to create over this time. Just, you know, how family oriented and just how, you know, appreciative and thankful I am those guys just bringing me in and, you know, just putting my best foot forward, you know, just, you know, doing everything I can in return, you know, to bring home a championship, you know, to our city.
We're talking to Cam Sutton. Cam, I've done this a long time. I've talked to a lot of guys that have worn that Stewart uniform. And I think that, you know, as a California guy, as a Los Angeles native, I can't say that I know for certain, but I've talked to enough Stewart fans over the years to understand the pride in that town. Mike Tomlin was talking about how yesterday, quote, you guys just played Steeler D. I've got an expectation that our defensive unit's going to be in every football game like that. I'm just being bluntly honest with you, end of quote. I mean, as I mentioned, I've talked to so many guys that have played in that defense, Cam. I've talked to so many guys that have been in that secondary. How would you define playing Steeler D? How would you describe that identity?
Simple term. You know, you always hear around an organization, you hear around Steeler football all the time. Standard is a standard, you know. And, you know, that's just, our, you know, the pride and our identity of, you know, who we are, you know, no matter who's out there on the field. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation that we're in out there on the field, no matter the score, all the odds can be stacked against us, you know, but our job is to go out there and stand up and play Stiller brand of football, you know, and, you know, have so many greats, so many legends do it for us. There's an expectation. There's a standard behind everything that we do, and we have to live up to that. We have to keep those things proceeding, moving forward, and, you know, that's just holding each other accountability, everyone having accountability for themselves and to a high standard of, you know, their play, bringing each and every time that we're out there on the field. And just playing for one another, you know, playing for each other. You know, that's the biggest thing. We love and enjoy playing for each other and just having that fun and that energy out there, and I think that really shows.
Cam Sutton making his Jungle debut here on the program with us. Cam, I want to ask you about something Joe Hayden said, and I've got such respect for Joe. He said, quote, it's a different ball game inside. Those little slot receivers and the route trees, it's a lot different, just timing and stuff like that. But Cam Sutton, That's what he does. He has a great inside and outside presence. I'm more of an outside guy. I mean, I want no part of it. Honestly, I want no parts of the slot, but Cam can play both at a high level. I mean, dude, that's an amazing bit of praise from Joe Haden. So take me through that part of it. What does it take to have success and play on the inside? The one thing that Haden admits I want nothing to do with.
Yes, sir. I appreciate those kind words, man. Yeah, you know, just kind of just, like I said, just getting the feel for the game. You know, obviously leading up into those moments, you know, you do the, you know, do everything you can to prepare well enough throughout the course of the week to help you, you know, slow the game down for yourself out there on Sundays or whatever your game day are. And, you know, that's just the thing that I've been able to, you know, really accomplish over my being in the league, let alone in our system, you know, just having that time to take in all the personnel, take in all our different coverages, take in all, you know, all the guys and roles and responsibilities and jobs on each and every play, and then just mix them in kind of in by down and distance, by team, by personnel, you know, by formations, you know. And, you know, off of that, the fun part is about that is just matching them up with the coverages, you know, matching them with the coverages and then matching that up with the calls, you know, per the team and concepts. So, you know, just obviously you get a feel within our calls and our game plan throughout the week of, you know, how teams are going to try to attack us and, you know, their kind of favorite concepts and things that, you know, schematic wise that they have high tendency of, you know. So really is just kind of obviously continuous read and react. You know, most situations you're going from down the distance, maybe might be down early downs, might be outside, and, you know, you're playing kind of burst base personnel type of things, and vice versa, you might be going into later down distances and, you know, you have four or five wide out on the field and you might have to slide inside and kind of have to, like I said, refocus and balance back and kind of, you know, go back to those tools and key points that you jotted down throughout the early points of the week, you know, that will help you be successful. So, you know, just continuous, you know, being sharp, you know, continuous, you know, challenging yourself and, you know, like I said, just continuous just doing everything you can and putting yourself in the best situation to, you know, come out with the best product.
Dude, you must be so good at chess. Do you play chess?
I play a little bit.
I bet, man. Dude, you must be really good. Yeah, you know, I'm talking to you right now, and you and I have never spoken, but like I'm getting this humility, like this great preparation, of course, but humility. It's pretty clear to me the coaching staff and your teammates have so much respect for you. You're not necessarily yet that household name. Does it bother you, or is the only thing that really matters to you is that you have your teammates and coaches' respect?
No, not at all. You know, like I said, you know, that's just something that's continuous gaining, you know, as the time, you know, tells. You know, I'm going to continue to show up each and every week, you know, and, you know, it's not just, you know, just coming into the year, you know, not just in the year, but I said I was coming for everything, and I was coming for it all. And obviously, I truly meant that, you know. Obviously, I have confidence in myself to do those things and achieve everything that I want to achieve, and let alone my teammates, the coaching staff, the city, everyone, you know, my family, you know. So, you know, just really juiced up for the year, you know, really energized, ready to go, ready to, you know, continue to, you know, attack each and every week, every opponent, and just play some, you know, some great football.
Thank you, Cam. That's the best. My last thought, you have like this, I mean, there's expectation, right? Expectation from the guys you're around, expectation from the fans, expectation from your family, your friends, a lot of that. But you're really poised, really composed. And you mentioned, I have confidence in myself, like this sense of calm and confidence. Does it come from preparation, or were you always just like this?
No, yeah, it's definitely, you know, just being poised in situations. It's really something I've always had, you know, kind of just always in those moments, you know, whether having to, you know, necessarily be the guy in those moments or kind of just having to know necessarily what to do, you know. So whether that's just me, you know, kind of just lining guys up or making sure we're in the right personnel, you know, things that I might be able to last minute quick adjustments or relay guys that they've seen out there on the field, or maybe how we've been attacked early in games and they come back later in games and kind of try to attack us as well. Just like I said, just keeping everyone sharp, that constant communication on and off the field of kind of just situationally, you know, making sure everyone's good across the board. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, guys are down in, down out, you know, across the board, communicating with everyone and making sure we're all good.
I think it's really impressive. Like, my last thought for you, like, most people just are worried about themselves. Most people don't do well even just worrying about themselves. And you just said to me, like, I like to be the guy who's also responsible to make sure that everybody's in the right spot, doing the right thing, both on and off the field. Clearly, you're worried about more than just yourself. Why are you comfortable doing that? Why is that so important to you?
No question. You have to. You definitely have to. Obviously, be wide-sighted of everything and be very, very visual of the big picture. You know, obviously, you're dealing with, you know, so many different things necessarily in football, within football, as well as not even just pertaining within football. So, obviously, within saying that, like I said, you have your football life and you have life outside of football. So that's just, like I said, that communication in itself of learning your teammates, you know, learning who guys you're going to be around and the guys you're working with and how they work, you know, strengths and weaknesses, you know, things that help kind of the defense, things that help, you know, things that they can do. How can we incorporate their talents and skills into what we do, and then how can we use those things to attack teams, you know, and within that you create that big bond with each other out there on the field. And you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, some guys, you know, respond to coaching or critique or some things different, and you're able to get to guys, you know, different ways, and that, I think, that, like I said, that's just the challenge of just being a people person, you know, and accepting that that challenge of, you know, like I said, getting everyone on the same page, you know, making sure everyone understands their role and is locked in. You know, we know, obviously, each and every week what's at stake, and you know, our goals, you know, our end of season goals and what we want to do as a team. So we know, you know, obviously our mindset going to each and every week, how locked in we have to be, you know.
I'm gonna editorialize on the way out the door. You are a people person and a pro. Steelers cornerback, yeah, Cam Sutton. My man, I appreciate you. That was a really good conversation, man. Thanks so much for doing that, Cam. Let's do it again soon. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Much respect. Cam Sutton. I love what I heard there. Really impressive. He was the 94th pick overall in 2017. Like I said, maybe not necessarily household yet, but those who know. Those who know. And then when you hear something like that, how could you not know? I'm really impressed with that. I've always been impressed watching him, but having spoken to him now for the first time, that was really impressive. He gets, not only does he get it, but he gets what it means to play defense for that team, in that town, in that secondary. There is an enormous responsibility that comes along with that. All right, so my thanks to Cam Sutton. How about those three interviews on a Monday? Really good interviews. Aqib Talib, Sam Pittman, Arkansas head football coach, and Cam Sutton of the Steelers. All right, so we're open the rest of the way. When we come back, maybe look back at the college football weekend. Wild weekend. I haven't even covered the Browns and the Chiefs yet. I want to get to that, too. You know what I really would like? A couple of good telephone calls. We've done our job. How about you? 1-800-636-8686. All right, so whether it's after a hard day of work or relaxing on the weekend, we all love to kick back and watch some live sports. It doesn't matter what sport you're watching. It's always fun to have a little bit of action. This is why I recommend downloading the WynnBET app. Whether you're a recreational player or a serious handicapper, WynnBET is your ticket to every exciting wager, from straight bets to parlays, teasers, any exotic proposition wager that you can dream up. The app is so easy to use, and everybody knows Wynn is one of the biggest and best brands in the gaming industry. We all know this. So get off the sidelines, join in on the action, download the WynnBET app on Google Play or the Apple Store right now. Put yourself in the game. Wynn with WynnBET. That's WynnBET. Offers subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. You got to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. Backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. You know, I sometimes say in the college ranks that USC players are always good interviews on the program. And I always say that Notre Dame players are always good interviews on the program. Same thing with the NFL and the Steelers. That is just the latest in a long line of really good Steeler interviews over the years. The Steelers, for whatever reason, always produce really good interviews. And that's just the latest. That was really impressive. Cam Sutton, his intellectual approach to the game, I thought very, very cerebral and great to talk to. Really enjoyed that, as you can tell. Let me give you some reaction, get you caught up on a few things. JD in Webfield tweets, I hate the Steelers. That said, I'm having a really difficult time not liking what I hear from Cam Sutton. Class act. Well said. You know, if you separate yourself from the team, and maybe that's not your allegiance, but if you just listen to the guy and what the guy had to say, how can you not be impressed? How can you not respect that? Dear Mr. Rome, thanks for bringing Coach Pittman on. His interview today and their performance on Saturday is another reminder of how fraudulent the Texas Longhorns are. Texas is not back. Nick in New York. Maybe not the football program. Basketball team is. I'll tell you that right now. Let's see. What else do we have here? Tim tweets, I've been waiting all weekend for you to tear apart Herb. It's everything I was waiting for and more. Like I said, coming off week one of the NFL season, the last thing that I expected to be talking about was the Jags v. Texans. You know how bad something would have to go in that game for me to have that as one of the topics that I would get to? And it was that bad. In fact, worse. I thought I actually took it easy on Herb. It was that bad. Kevin in the Coachella Valley, quote, good old Herb was so lost yesterday that after the game, he threatened to pull some players off scholarship. I just thought it was so rich. Like, of course, JLC had the report, so I know it's accurate. Because JLC had the report. But then for them to go out and play exactly the way he reported was truly rich. Not surprising, but pretty rich. Sam in Grand Rapids is in. Quote, wait, Ritt is wearing a jersey? It's so cute when the elderly dress like children. That is cute. Ritt.
Finally.
And I need another comeback from you, dude. You can't just keep cracking open that mic and saying, finally. Ritt says, 1 month from tomorrow. It's where you and I are different. Like, you're 15 years younger than me. You look 20 years older than me, and you can't wait to have that date. And I kind of prefer not to. Birthdays are not so cool anymore. But to you, it represents more than a birthday. It represents your opportunity to make all of us forget what you did last year, a year ago at this time. Your chance to take over the show once again.
Can't wait.
That's true. If Ritt is still above ground, 1 month from tomorrow, he gets to host the show again because it is our birthday. Now, when I say if Ritt is still above ground, that's saying something because he once put Tom Hanks into the ground when there was no reason to do so.
Tom Hanks went belly up as well. So
thought you handled that pretty well, Rit. It's not like COVID was sensitive or anything, especially at that time. And you couldn't wait to kill this guy. He tests positive and Rit's like, just, I mean, so flip about it too. Yeah, but Tom Hanks went belly up. No, he didn't. Nor did Rita. Anyway, Rit didn't care about that. If you're above ground, Pops, 1 month from tomorrow, you will be in this seat once again. And I won't be in your seat. I don't know where I will be, but you will be in my seat. And then you can do what you want for a segment. It will be your world, officially. This says, it's not a haiku if it's not 575. That's a stupid rule.
A stupid rule.
Signed, Tom in Tampa. I like that. Okay, you know, it's interesting. Do that. Write it out and then put the numbers in parentheses, but justify the numbers in parentheses. 575. Haiku. There's a specific format for a haiku. 575. We started doing this years ago and then went away for years. And now it's making its triumphant comeback. Except some of you, like I said, are like 13, 48, 19. That's not haiku. Three lines do not make it haiku. 575. And then don't make it 13, 48, 19. And then put 575 in parentheses. I can count. If you can do it, I'd love to hear from you. It's not a haiku if it's not 575. That's a stupid rule. Signed, Tom in Tampa. Marshall in Orlando gets credit for that. Well played. All right, so do you have a phone?
Credit.
Do you know how to use it? Can you make it better? 1-800-636-8686. Tonight you've got the Ravens at the Raiders, or what's left of the Ravens running back room. Raiders getting some value. Who do you like in that game? How did your weekend go? Big head James Kelly's in. Quote, watch out, Russell Crowe. He's talking to you, Rich. I don't know why he doesn't just hit you directly with that, but he hits me with it. All right, we are coming right back. And when we do, I probably should share my thoughts on the Browns and the Chiefs, the Giants and the Broncos. I don't want to get too far removed from the college football weekend and an ATP. It's a good Monday. Stay tuned. Let's get you a sports update. If you're waiting, here it is. All right, so this can be a pretty interesting ATP segment. And I probably should be talking about the Browns and the Chiefs and the Giants in college football. But I got to admit, this is a pretty interesting ATP segment. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So this is why it's interesting. Let me read through a few of these. Hi, Jim. How's your bocce ball game? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. All right, so Bella obviously is following me on Instagram. And you should as well if you want to understand a question like that. Like, where did that come from? How is your bocce ball game? I've posted pictures on my Instagram stories a couple of times that we do have a bocce ball court in my backyard. It's a pretty good one. It's pretty nice. I pride myself in never once having played. Not once. I pride myself in I will never play as long as I own that house. I'm not against it. I'm not down on it. I just kind of have pride in the streak. I've never played. However, I did post a picture on the holiday weekend of dudes playing bocce ball. So that's why Bella's asking me, how's my game? Don't have one, Bella. I did not partake. Those were guests. They saw it and they're like, dude, you've got bocce ball. You want to play? I said, no. But you're more than welcome to. What do they call that little cue ball? Paulina. Some a-hole stole my Paulina. Not that I care because I don't play, but it wasn't there. So one of my guys is like, yo, where's the Paulina? I'm like, Paulina? You mean like St. Pauli's girl? They're like, no, Paulina, dude. Where is it? I'm like, oh, the little cue ball. Yeah, I don't know. I wish they would steal all of them. So one of the old school dudes went to one of my trees and ripped off a lemon or a tangerine and used that. Anyway, follow me on Instagram and you will understand the inside game that Bella B is talking about. Mr. Rome. I was going to say Rome, but this guy never roams me. Mr. Rome, what is your most valuable, most unique, or favorite piece of sports memorabilia? Respectfully, Edward Marino from San Diego. You know, as I've told you many times, I'm not a big memorabilia guy. So I don't, like I don't even really have one, I don't think. My Jose Lima baseball, when he won his 20th game, Alvin reminded me of that. That definitely is it. That was the most personal one to me. Oh, there's another one that's very personal to me. And these things are in storage. Evil Knievel gave me his walking cane once.
You know,
but not just the walking cane. I do. We went through a period, and I don't remember why we initially started to have conversations with the great Evil Knievel, but I started interviewing Evil Knievel on this show. Understand, as a kid, I had that crank toy, the Evil Knievel motorcycle crank toy that you would just jack up your knuckles
crank,
on the cement,
crank.
Cranking that thing up. I loved Evil Knievel. So when I had a chance to interview him, you know, that was that famous time. The first time I ever interviewed him, we had this exchange. The "do you know who the hell I am" exchange. The famous Jungle exchange. You all know it.
The way I look at it, if I'd have made it, everybody would have said it was easy. If I'd have missed it and died, everybody said, well, that's supposed to be what happens to daredevils like him. But I didn't. I landed down on those rocks and in that water, and I don't see no big long line of daredevils standing up there wanting to take a shot at it. And here it is almost 30 years later.
Hey, let me ask you something. If you thought it was 50-50, if you thought that you had a coin flip's chance of survival, a coin flip's chance that you might buy it and die, why do it?
You know who the hell I am?
One of my favorite answers ever from a guest, if not the favorite answer ever. I mean, with such disdain, like, you know who the hell I am? Evil freaking Knievel. That exchange took place almost 20 years ago. So he and I started to have conversations, and when I got more and more comfortable with him, I was fascinated by all things Evil Knievel, but nothing more so than his clear, diamond-encrusted walking stick that he filled up with wild turkey. One of the coolest things I had ever seen in my life. So one day I got up enough nerve, and I said, Evil, I have never, ever asked anything of anybody since I got into this business. But I can't tell you how much I respect and admire and frankly want that clear, diamond-encrusted walking stick that you have filled with wild turkey. My man, may I please have that? He said, no. No, you cannot. But I got something for you next time I see you. And he gave me one of his walking sticks. It was not diamond encrusted, but it had a little brass or gold in it. That meant a lot to me. That meant a ton. Good stuff. So, Edward, those are some of the things. The Jose Lima baseball that he won his 20th game with, that he didn't keep. Like, he gave it to me, and then a bunch of you idiots were like, hey, Rome, you know how many game balls he must have from that game? He didn't give you the game ball. And I had him on once. I'm like, Jose, my man, because Lima and I were close. He's one of my favorite Jungle interviews ever, one of my favorite athletes ever. I said, my man, they are clowning me hard. Can you set the record straight? Is that, in fact, the ball from the game when you won your 20th? He said, absolutely. Dear Jim. Actually, it's not Dear Jim. It's Jimmy Jim. Does stylist Cindy get the day off when your program is not simulcast on TV on CBS Sports Network? Brent and PC. Brent, generally, you are very good at this. So I'm going to let that slide. Brent, she's our stylist. She applies the man cake. She works up the lettuce a bit. It's a TV thing. Why would I need that when I'm on radio? Are you suggesting that I wear makeup to be on radio? Dude, by the way, until I met Cindy, and even now that I know Cindy, who's a pro's pro, I mean, she is a professional. I hate wearing this crap. I don't want to put this crap on.
Professional.
In fact, I kind of have this thing like I'm still wearing makeup from 20 years ago that I can't get off, like back in the day. So why would I wear it on days where I don't have to? What's next? Hey, Jimmy Jim, do you wake up on Saturday morning and put makeup on to go to Starbucks? No, dude, she does not work on days when there's no simulcast. We're not on TV. It's a simulcast. Brent, I'm going to forget you asked that, Brent, because you and I are good. You make that segment much better, Brent. Just not today. Of course she doesn't work on those days. Why, to apply our radio makeup? To apply to fix up my radio lettuce? Come on, man. How about this one? Hi, Jim. Why don't you wear your wedding band every day? Thanks, Bellby in Calgary. Damn, some of you are watching this show really closely. Quote, why don't you wear your wedding band every day? Because I do, Bella. I do. I do. Catch a screen grab of me not wearing it. And if you can, there's one of two reasons. I don't think you can. I do. I wear it absolutely every day. Here's the funny thing about the wedding band. And it's not because I can't leave the house or Janet will be like, where's your wedding band? In fact, she's the opposite. See, because I'm one of those guys whose weight can fluctuate, I'm weird like this. I can go plus or five every weekend. Probably not a healthy thing. But if I lose, say, 5 pounds, this band right here will come flying right off my hand. It literally can. So Janet will say, don't wear it, don't wear it, don't wear it. And the reason for that is we've already lost it once. And I say we. Like, I'm all about ownership, right? You got to own it. You got to own it. How could we lose it? Like, you lost it, right, moron? No. Once on a birthday trip in Mexico, we were going down this river, and there was this tree, and I think there was like a tree house, and some of the fellas in my group were jumping out of the tree or swinging out of the tree, or it was a zip line. I don't remember what it was, but it was something out of a tree. And I was kind of like not feeling it, just not feeling it. But she kind of put the wife pressure on me like, hey, how are you doing that, right? I'm like, I guess I am now. Well, I came out of the tree, and that was one of those times where I was pretty lean. You bet, man. Wedding band went right off my hand into the muddied water. And remember, you already know the famous story about when I was at the Brickyard walking down that catwalk and I lost the ring. It came off as I reached down to high-five or low-five some people, and they found it, and they sent it back up. That was the most amazing thing ever. The same thing did not happen in the water, in the muddy water. Lost the ring. Point of the matter is, I don't take it off. I take it off to sleep. I'm not one of those guys who sleeps with the watch and the wedding band on. If for whatever reason you have seen this show and I'm not wearing my wedding band, I'm also not wearing my watch. Because the first thing I do when I come in the morning is I take both off.
You see this watch?
You see this watch? You see this wedding band? I take them off when I start my day because I don't like banging my watch and frankly my band on my table and the keyboard. Every once in a while I'll run into the studio and forget to put them back on. But B, man, don't be starting something where nothing exists. I wear it every day. Rid hit me with, yeah, because you can't take it off now. I'm like, Rid, I'm not fat like you, man. I can. See, look.
This watch. Yeah.
There you go. Let's see. Vic and NoCal is in. Top three interview answers in jungle history. Vic. Vic says number three. That's right. Son, that jockey.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a response to a question. But again, I guess I didn't ask a very, very good question if I got that bad of an answer. That's right. Number two.
That's right.
Yeah. Was that a question?
Yeah.
Rex Lee.
Was that a question?
That's good, too.
Yeah.
And according to Vic and NoCal, the number one interview answer in jungle history, quote, "I don't really want to talk about basketball," signed Zoe. That went so badly. I don't even reset that. I don't even play that. You imagine Alonzo Mourning coming on this show and saying, and by the way, I could not have been more hyped. I knew it was weird. I always know my antenna always goes up with certain guys. And when he was booked as an interview, I'm like, that's not right. Because he doesn't do the show. He won't do it. Which is fine. Because again, like I always say, if everybody wants to do the show, I'm not doing my job. But it was a pitch for kidney disease. I'm like, okay, good. Good. This is good. Maybe we can rebuild this bridge. Because I'm not in this to blow bridges up. I'm like, Zoe, man, Zoe's a warrior. Zoe's a guy that I should be good with. I want to fix that. So we will do it. And you know me with pitches. If anything, you're like, hey, Rome, can you stop doing those pitches and stop asking them about their foundations and why they're such good guys? I'm like, because I want to show that a lot of these guys are really good guys and deserve that. Anyway, we do the interview, and I'm hyped, man. I prep that thing so hard because I want to make sure that that bridge is rebuilt. And so I start the interview with Zoe, and I ask him a basketball question, and making it very clear that we're going to talk about his pitch. Because I know that he's not real happy to be there. And he immediately says to me with great disdain, oh no. Oh no, we're not talking basketball. Oh. Okay. And because I'm the bigger man and a better guy, I didn't talk basketball and I just did his pitch. Incredible. But Vic's right. That might be the all-time greatest answer. A great basketball player starting an interview by saying, oh, I'm not talking basketball. Oh, okay. That'd be like me coming here every day and go, I'm not talking sports.
That's right.
Huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're close. They're convenient. They're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Thank you very much for listening. You have yourself an amazing day. See you tomorrow. We're out.